This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Mike Signer joins me on the program. He is an attorney in private practice, an adjunct professor at Virginia Tech, and the author of Demagogue, The Fight to Save Democracy from Its Worst Enemies. Mike, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm great, Coy. Thanks for having me.
And folks might remember Mike Signer. He was a Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor. So we got to talk a whole lot here about Virginia politics and American politics. But we'll just start with a general question. What are your thoughts as you're reading the news about, the gas line cut here and bricks thrown through the window there and a congressman spit on? And what are your thoughts as you're seeing this happen in America today, Mike?
Yeah, I want to apologize in advance because I think that my remarks are probably going to be a lot more lowbrow than the physics and colliding that you'll have later on. But I have a lot of thoughts about it. I wrote a piece which I know that you saw, which is on a new website called The Daily Beast, and it was also in the Huffington Post, where I tried to connect some of the thinking that I've done for years that was in this book called Demagogue. And demagogues are violent mass who have been around since the beginning of democracy. And the most vivid, famous examples we have in America are Huey Long, George Wallace, figures like that who really spring from the people, but tend to play to the lowest common denominator. This was an outgrowth of a dissertation I wrote a long time ago, and it sort of started to become more relevant over the years as we saw demagogues popping up all over the world, like Hugo Chavez or Muqtada al-Sadr in Iraq, who really hurt the American presence in the first couple of years that we were there. That's just by way of saying that demagogues are actually pretty rare in American politics when you look back. And political violence doesn't really happen that often. We have a remarkably stable system over time, and constitutionalism is one of the main things the book is about, which is this tradition of regular Americans embracing the system and embracing a system of checks and balances and deliberation and more often than not. All that is to say, I actually think it's pretty alarming that you've seen figures like Glenn Beck and even Sarah Palin, who I previously considered pretty mainstream, I think, go off the deep end with really trying to stir people up to a level of agitation and lawlessness that is alarming, I think. And that's why I wrote the piece and tried to connect the arguments in this book, Demagogue, to some things that are going on right now. I think it's very unsettling when you have a lot of the things that we've seen the last week and a half coming up so routinely.
We're talking with Mike Signer. He was a candidate for lieutenant governor here in Virginia. His most recent book is Demagogue, The Fight to Save Democracy from Its Worst Enemies. Mike, what's your response to somebody who might say, look, I don't need Glenn Beck or Sarah Palin to tell me I'm angry. I'm already angry. I don't need them. They didn't contribute to my anger. I'm not being heard in Washington. I don't agree with what the administration's doing, and I feel left out. And so I'm an American. I believe in this country. And so, of course, I'm angry. I'm already angry.
Yeah, look, the whole point of our system is it's an extremely resilient and tested I'm trying to think of a good metaphor for it. It can take as much anger as we can pour into it, and it is meant to be as passionate as the citizens and the groups and the factions and the parties that we have. But the point is, all that has to go into the system itself. It cannot be used against the system. That is the point of having a constitutional citizenry. We are committed to the Constitution. We don't go outside of it. And lawlessness goes outside of it. So when somebody threatens, Tom Perriello, who I've known for a long time, I was a strategist on his race when he won for Congress, and so I've watched with some personal alarm as these threats have happened, or when these militia members are talking about killing members of the government or toppling the government itself. And I think you can draw a line from that sort of behavior to rhetoric that goes completely beyond the pale to try to make somebody like the president almost subhuman or not. I think that you can draw a line from the attempts to link him to terrorists or make him seem un-American to the posters that we've all seen where he has the Joker's face painted on him or a Hitler mustache or the, you know, he's calling a socialist and that seems, and when you do that to somebody, you make them seem outside of the constitutional polity that we all are a part of. It makes them seem like an outsider, an other, and somebody you can treat lawlessly. And so that's why this all has been so alarming to me. I think that everybody needs to take a deep breath and channel that anger into the legitimate political system.
We're talking with Mike Signer. The book is Demagogue, The Fight to Save Democracy from Its Worst Enemies. Give us some examples now, because you've literally studied this. And I should point out, too, this happens on the right or the left. I mean, no political party has a monopoly on demagoguery. I mean, this just happens to among leaders, and it can happen and has happened in America. Give us some of the things you've learned about some of the warning signs, things that can happen that all Americans, regardless of a political affiliation or whether you're for or against certain policy issues, things that we should look out for as Americans.
Well, let me take a second and just define a demagogue, because that's a hard issue in and of itself. After like a decade of working on this problem, I've come up with a four-part definition of a demagogue. A demagogue is somebody who identifies with the great masses of the people as defined against elites, number one. Number two, they have an incredible ability to generate waves of emotion from large groups of people. Number three, they use that emotion for their own political benefits. That means that they're politically ambitious. They're not just kind of out there playing to the waves of people. They're ambitious. And number four, and this is the most important thing, they test or break established rules of governance. So they're inherently violent. And that doesn't mean that they actually break laws, but it means that when you watch them play, they're unsettling, and they're testing the rules, and sometimes they're outright breaking them. I think what that all means is that they're the kinds of political leaders who basically carve out a sub-state that is responsible and only replies to them. And when all this kind of happens is when people are very, very, very upset. And that a lot of the time goes hand in hand with economic turmoil, when they feel scared, when people are the last time that we saw the great era of demagogues in American life was the 1930s, the decade after the Great Depression, when all throughout the cities, and especially rural America, you had people who were literally hand-to-mouth. They didn't feel the federal government, the state government was paying attention to them, had delivered any answers after the failure of Hoover. A lot of people don't recognize, even in the first couple of years after FDR, he got a lot of New Deal programs passed, but there was still a lot of feeling that he wasn't getting the job done. And so this was when Huey Long rose up in the mid-1930s and really took advantage of a lot of people's fear and alarm that their basic, you know, that their lives were in danger. And so you had a very charismatic Southern politician who was building roads and delivering a lot of things people hadn't had, but also using that incredible emotion for his own political benefit and setting himself up as a presidential candidate to defeat FDR. At the same time, he was using the National Guard in Louisiana for his own, you know, to intimidate and bully and a lot of times be violent toward people. Coughlin was a Detroit radio priest, is what he was called, with an audience of millions of people. I mean, a titanic figure who also rose up in a time when he was proposing basically a religiously driven populism. And so you saw really big national figures come up at a time when people are most scared. You've also seen it happen in parts of the country where you have endemic economic depression and people take it out on racial minorities. So that happened all throughout the South. You saw demagogues like George Wallace, or there was a senator in Mississippi named Bilbo in the first part of the century who was a real vicious racist demagogue, and so you've seen signals like that in the past, and the question now is whether we're seeing it again, and it, you know, the 1930s was the last time we saw it. You certainly would expect to see that kind of turmoil in this decade after the recent economic collapses.
We're talking with Mike Signer. He's a former candidate for lieutenant governor here in Virginia. His most recent book is Demagogue, The Fight to Save Democracy from Its Worst Enemies. He's a lawyer in private practice and an adjunct professor at Virginia Tech. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Mike, I say on this program all the time, and it is the greatest thing that concerns me along these lines of what we're talking about when it comes to the health of America. And yep. That is this increasing polarization, the right and the left, and they both do it. The liberals do it, the conservatives do it, yep. Where they tend to demonize people that they don't agree with, yep. On public policy issues, yep. On politics. And the more we demonize people, then the lesson becomes, then you have people get on the radio every day and they beat this drum again and again and again by saying basically your real enemy is your neighbor. I mean, the person that, yep. That is in your community that you disagree with, that's your real enemy. And you know, wasn't that Hitler's shtick? I mean, isn't this the shtick of demagogues to say that, you know, the enemy is your neighbor, the enemy is among us kind of thing. Yeah. And all that does is push people farther apart, and there's no way we'll ever find any solutions, and the end result is it weakens this country.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's one of the reasons that it's so important just to be having this discussion right now, because what I've learned in these, you know, decade of studying people like Huey Long is that what demagogues do is they create a sub-state that is responsible to them alone. And the flip side of them is statesmen. So, you know, where did the statesmen go? I mean, we need to be looking for people in public life who are making us think about the constitutional state itself and what binds us together. And as Americans, I mean, we're a nation that was born unto law and by law. And that's one of our proudest heritages, one of the reasons we're the most magnificent, you know, nation, I believe, in the history of the humankind, because we have created this beautiful democracy that is bound together by our own faith to these constitutional values. So when you have people who just so casually start carving out some segment of the country that's responsible only to them and that doesn't care about the constitutional values, and that very casually makes, you know, a deliberatively elected president out to be a terrorist or a socialist or a Hitler figure, you know, and foments violence and tries to divide us. It's fine to have conflict and a lot of debate and even a lot of anger inside the constitutional system, but when you start having lawlessness sanctioned, that's when it gets very, you know, very, I mean, it's so ironic. That's what's un-American. That's what's un-American. And I think we need to be very, very, we need to call it out whenever we see it.
We're talking with Mike Signer. The phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Andy is on the line. Andy, you're on with Mike Signer. You go right ahead.
Thank you very much. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I listened to the four points that your guest pointed out for, I guess, describing a demagogue and a demagoguery, and I think all four apply to our president. I mean, he has done all of those things since he's been elected. It is very frightening for someone who doesn't belong to any political party, and to see a president act like that is very scary when he calls out American citizens, not by name, but as a very minute group, and then criticizes them heavily on national television, and then they get death threats and people come to their homes and protest. That's a pretty scary thing when your president does that to you. And I think all Americans should be worried about that.
Andy, thanks for the call. Mike? I'm sorry. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah. I appreciate the question, and I appreciate it being asked cordially. I profoundly disagree with you on the facts. On the first one, demagogues frame themselves as creatures of the masses and vilify elites from the very beginning. So that's the first category. And I think that Barack Obama always tried to come across as a fairly thoughtful guy who was able to speak across the strata of society. He never seemed like a George Wallace or a Huey Long or a rabble-rousing Hitler or anything like that of the worst kinds of demagogues. So that's one question. The fourth one is where I think it's really dangerous and wrong and just flat out irresponsible to say that Barack Obama is somehow testing or breaking established rules of governance. He rose up a state senator. You know, demagogues are usually seize power through militias. that respond to them alone. You have, Barack Obama was a state senator and a duly elected United States senator and rose up through the caucus and the primary system, became the nominee, and won, you know, a very solid majority at the polls in a flat-out, highly legitimate election, and has been governing, in concert with the other branches of government. And, you know, even more to the point, let Congress draft the health care bill. He didn't ram anything through in any way there. And I just can't see anybody saying in any way that he has been violating any rules of governance.
We're talking with Mike Signer. The book is Demagogue, The Fight to Save Democracy from Its Worst Enemies. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. You were talking about the private militias. Wasn't that the brown shirts in the 30s in Germany? That's what that was all about. I mean, it was a political party that had its own army, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly. When constitutional systems start to collapse is when one leader takes over the military. And that's why in America we've been so careful since the very beginning, that the founders were so worried about stability that they placed the military always under civilian control, for one. And so what's so dangerous is when a popular leader, when a demagogue, starts taking the military, making them responsible to him alone, it allows them to create that sub-state, and the sub-state ultimately will take over the state. The ancient pattern, I mean, you can tell I'm kind of passionate about this, it's been stuck with me forever. The ancient pattern, what they observed, you know, for thousands of years, is it's called the cycle of regimes, where a demagogue will be, the people give a demagogue all their power, and then he quickly becomes a tyrant, usually by taking over the military, and that's called a cycle. The democracy will become a tyranny. That's exactly what happened in Hitler's Germany. Weimar Germany was originally a constitutional system, and Hitler rose up and pretty quickly turned it against itself, and then it was a tyranny.
Yeah, and that was the great fear, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe. I mean, their writings are full of this cycle of history, and
exactly
their hope was that we would carve out a little place here in the world where we could avoid that, you know, where you avoid this oppression, rebellion, reformation over and over again, and escape that cycle.
Exactly right. That's what my book actually starts with, is just looking at the cycle of regimes. And And it's really, if you just kind of take a deep breath and think more, more philosophically about the whole thing. It's a very profound element of humanity that freedom can turn into its opposite, and you can have a democracy, but people will. In a democracy, often enough, they'll just hand over all their power to a demagogue, and the demagogue will turn it into a tyranny, and that was a paradox since the very beginning. What I think is so amazing about the American experiment is that you ultimately realize that if the people take responsibility for the republic and discipline with their own constitutional values and care, are constantly watching demagogues, anyone who would be a demagogue, and constantly making sure that the system itself is healthy, then you actually don't need all the checks and balances, and you don't need constraints, and demagogues will become pointless because they don't even have an audience to play to if the people are not interested and are self-monitoring. I think that's how we are, and as Virginians, we have a special relationship to that because it was born here for America, and that's one of the, it's great that you're doing the show on this right now because it just keeps us alert to these kinds of dangers.
Yeah. We're talking with Mike Signer. The book is Demagogue, The Fight to Save Democracy from Its Worst Enemies, and Houston waiting patiently online, too. Houston, you're on with Mike. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mike, I have a question. I've been reading and studying biblically about Nineveh in the day of Jonah and how we reflect. I'm sitting there with my grandkids, and here's a commercial come on about getting your penis hard. You know, this is ridiculous of what they're forcing on us. And biblically, the New World Order, FDR and his group, as far as the Great Seal, I think they believe that New Deal took place. And now this is the repercussion of what we get of a tyranny with all that you're talking about. So I'm going to get off and let you...
Houston, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Mike?
Well, I guess what I would say about the New Deal is that I've actually been looking back at this history a little bit because I was trying to compare the 1930s with today. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt grew the government a lot. He grew the federal government a lot, and there was a lot of controversy about it. And a lot of people said, oh, he's a dictator, and he's growing the power of the presidency in an unconstitutional direction. It's too big, and he's doing too much too unilaterally. The Supreme Court actually started striking down some of the programs that he got Congress to pass. But the important point is that was all Democratic. Congress was elected by the people. It had tremendous Democratic majorities. The president was elected four times by the people. All the programs that were passed through the people's branches of governments. They weren't, you know, foisted on by the military, or they weren't foisted by the Supreme Court. In fact, the Supreme Court was what acted to strike them down. Now, when FDR ran most seriously afoul of the American people and our constitutional values was when he tried to pack the court in 1937. A good friend of mine named Jeff Schessel has a new book out called Imperial Power, which I commend to all your readers, where he goes through kind of day by day when FDR, he was so frustrated at a very conservative Supreme Court who was striking down all of his bills that he said, well, I'm going to put an extra member of the court on for everyone who's over 70, which would basically have given him an additional member, you know, a Democratic member, and would have allowed him to overrule the Supreme Court, which was striking down his bills. The American people were the ones who pushed back and who defeated that plan and who got their representatives to defeat it in Congress. It was the most stinging defeat FDR ever experienced, and it was because the people took a look at that idea and they said, no, this would be demagogic. This would be too much power, and it is tyrannical. And so he got slapped by the constitutional values of the American people itself, which is, you know, one of the reasons I think it's a great story about how incredible we are and how incredible we've been.
The book is Demagogue, The Fight to Save Democracy from Its Worst Enemies. Mike Signer, former candidate for lieutenant governor, a lawyer in private practice, and an adjunct professor at Virginia Tech. Mike, thanks for being on the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.